Welcome to Nightlife, a bite-size episode.
Yes, Monday Night Travel this week. We're trekking to one of the most remote parts of the country. We're talking to the Kimberley. Getting to the Kimberley, of course, up in the northwest corner of Australia means, I don't know, taking a four-wheel drive, a boat or a plane, sometimes a combination of all three. But of course, when you get up there, you're rewarded with, well, I understand, I've not been there, breathtaking views of twisting coastlines, giant gorges, serene waterfalls. Well, I haven't been, but I'll tell you what, somebody who has is freelance travel writer Fleur Banger, who's made the trip, I think, at least four times herself. So she says she knows what to do. Fleur, good evening. Good evening. Welcome to Nightlife.
Hello.
How many times have you been?
At least four, maybe five. Well, yeah, I've been really lucky.
Don't you need acres of time? Isn't that one of the things?
Not really. I mean, nowadays, if you get up there and you jump on a plane or a boat, there are ways to see it really fast. I mean, it's huge. If you think about it, it's the size of Germany and there's only 40,000 people there.
Yeah.
But you can pick a section, be it east, west or north, and just check that out, and it's amazing.
Yeah. You can't go year-round. What's the best time to go?
Sort of between, well, it's open, essentially, between March and October, but obviously at each end, you're sort of leaving or coming into the wet season. So the wet season's when it gets really hot and humid and rainy. And a bit of storm action, whereas in between that, it gets progressively finer as, you know, the southern half of Australia gets colder for winter. So really, winter time is the best time. And it's also when the whales are up there.
Really? So if you had to pick a month, when would you go?
Oh, so hard. I mean, if you talk to locals, they love April and May because you still have quite a lot of waterfall action coming over the cliff edges. So obviously, at the tail end of the wet season, the waterfalls are really gushing, but it's pretty hot and sticky. So if you go a little bit after that, the waterfalls are sort of still running. They're really impressive. But then it is quite magical to see a whale. And I was just there in October and we saw one of the last whales who were moving on. But it was, you know.
These are the migrating up the coast.
Yeah. And, you know, I think it had a baby with it and it was teaching it how to flap its fin on the water. We thought it was waving at us. It was pretty special.
How do you access it, though? That's the other thing. I mean, I look at some of these photographs and I think, well, that's taken from a helicopter.
Yes.
You know, well, I look at other photographs and I think, well, you know, that's taken from a helicopter as well. So I think, well, that's too expensive. We can't see it that way.
You could think of it that way, but you could go, well, it's expensive to go to Alaska or it's expensive to go to the Antarctic. And really, the Kimberley is kind of on par with that. If you're wanting to go to the Kimberley, you want to go to raw, rugged wilderness where there is no one around. There is no sort of mobile coverage. In a lot of places, you don't see any people. You're just there with nature. And that's something that's really special. And it's not easy to get to necessarily, or not cheap. It is actually fairly easy to get to if you take a helicopter or a plane or a boat. But you have to travel using those means really to get to it.
Because you can't really drive. Well, you could.
You can drive. You can drive.
But that's really time consuming.
It's rugged. Yeah. I mean, you could probably cross the Gibb River Road in 7 days if you went, you know, fairly rapidly. But there's a lot of corrugations to get over. So it's only for people who are willing to do that. And obviously it's camping. There's not a lot of accommodation along the way. There are some homesteads and things. So it just depends what sort of experience you want. But if, yeah, for my opinion.
Well, if you wanted a basic experience, what do you think?
Well,
so you can drive. So where would you hire the four-wheel drive?
So either in Broome or Kununurra, the two main hubs. There's Derby as well. Or, I mean, a lot of people just drive there. Because, you know, if you've got a four-wheel drive, you might as well. It's a long way. But, yeah, to me, if you're going to make the effort to go there, you want to see it and you want to see it properly. So you might as well save up your pennies and take a flight. Because there's a lot of, like, pilots go up there to learn how to fly because there's so many light airplanes.
I guess a flight's one thing, though. It's not being on the ground, though, is it?
No, well, you go and then they land. Obviously.
Okay.
Yeah. So you might say go to the Bungle Bungles, which is, you know, World Heritage listed in Pernalulu National Park. And this range is 360 million years old and it's been carved out by nature over 20 million years. It's just mind-blowing. And we've, as Europeans, only known about it since the 80s. So you can fly
the 1980s?
The 1980s.
Really?
That's when Europeans worked out that it was there. The Aboriginal people have rock art that is over 45,000 years old. So they've known about it for quite some time. But we only worked it out really, not long ago at all. So to think that
Well, because it's so inaccessible?
It's quite inaccessible, and I suppose, yeah, people just didn't go there. It's so remote. But you can fly there. It doesn't take very long. I think it's less than an hour.
Where would you fly from? From Broome?
From Kununurra. You can go from Broome as well, but yeah, Kununurra is sort of the main hub.
When you say fly there, what give me the itinerary. Would you land there? Or
you can. So you can. There's every sort of combination, but you know, the best trip that I've done, I've been there two or three times now, and so you would take off, you fly over Lake Argyle, which is one of the largest man-made lakes in Australia, if not the southern hemisphere, I think, and it's, you know, inundated mountains, so they look like islands. You fly over that and you see the diamond mine, which is an amazing pink diamond mine out there, and then you land in this sort of stretch of outback, which has been, you know, I don't know if it's been cleared or not, but it's all flat and no trees in the way. And from there you can take a four-wheel drive into the Bungle Bungles and you go for a walk through these beehive domes that are striped orange and black, and that's all natural. And you go and see waterfalls and you see gorges and just you see these domes that tower over you. I forget how high they are. I feel like it's 80 metres high. And it's just extraordinary. And if you have a bit of time, you can go into where the Aboriginal rock art is, if you know you're permitted to see it at that time. It's just spectacular. And I actually stayed in the park.
Where would you stay?
If you want to stay. I mean, most of the flights will leave you and take you out and back to Kununurra in the same day. But I stayed there at one of the bush camps. There's a couple of them there. And, you know, you can either arrange to bring all your own stuff and drive in if you want to, or you can have it, you know, have yourself looked after. But going into the Bungle Bungles by night and seeing, you know, these immense domes as if they're shadows, really, and the sky, you never see a sky show like that where it's just glitter above you. It's something else. And there's no sound because there's no one around. It's magic.
And you have a real sense of it being unspoiled, do you?
Oh, yeah, completely. I mean, in October I was on a cruise and it was, you know, a really quick four-day cruise. So that's another way you can do it quickly. But the people who were there, you know, there were people from Sydney, Melbourne, all over the place, and no one could get over that you couldn't see any skerrick of rubbish at all. There was no sign of human touch. There's not even a tower. You see nothing. It's just nature at its most raw and most wild.
What about people who go on boat cruises? Is that a good way to do it as well?
Yeah, well, that's what this was, this four-day boat cruise. Yeah. So, I mean, the short ones that they're introducing, they're quite new, and it's a way of people getting out
there. Where do you
go from? So you leave from Broome, and the new short ones, they're flying you out to places like Cygnet Bay Pearl Farm, which is extraordinary in itself. It's family-run. And you can do a tour of the farm, and then they pick you up off the beach, and, you know, you make sure there's no crocodiles around. And out you go into these turquoise waters, and it heads you out into the Buccaneer Archipelago, which has over 1,000 islands. And the cornflower blue of the ocean against these iron-rich islands that have this incredible red ochre colour. And then you get told that they're 1.8 billion years old. You know, that's your introduction to the coastal side of the Kimberley. It's magic. I keep saying that word magic, but it really, really is. And you're only away for a few days, but it feels like a week, if not two.
Okay, well, that's interesting because I think myself and lots of people probably thought, you know, you really needed a month. You think not? No,
not at all. I mean, yeah, 5 days is the least that I've done, and you know, I got out to see Montgomery Reef, which is this extraordinary, you know, flat reef out in the middle of the ocean where, because the tides are so giant, it just peels the water just peels off like tiny little cascades coming off the edge, and you know, there are turtles flipping about everywhere and popping their heads up, things like that. You just don't see them anywhere else. And, you see them, you know, amazing islands, and then you go to this place called Talbot Bay where the rock has been almost concertinaed over time. And you look at it and you just think, this can't be real, you know. They have these pieces of rock that have been shifted 85 degrees, you know, so they're just basically turned on their side and in a horizontal, vertical, you know.
And for people who want to do it very basically,
yes,
driving the Gibb River Road is a way to do it.
It's amazing. I mean, if you're into camping and you're happy to rough it.
And you can do as many side trips there as you want.
It's incredible because there's gorges all the way along the Gibb River Road. So you just go from gorge to gorge to gorge. And it's a bit like out in the islands. You know, the gorges have these sort of colour tones where it starts, you know, like a pale you know, bone colour, and then it merges into this rich orange and gets deeper red. And if you watch it at sunset, it just glows.
Hmm.
That rock is, you know, phenomenal. And then you see these Boab trees. And if you've ever seen one, they look like bottles that have been turned upside down.
Hmm.
And there's an Aboriginal story about, you know, this cheeky Boab who was turned on her head because she was so vain. And so the tops of the Boabs are almost like roots. They're really scraggly. So they're quite comical. And, you know, just that red, rich earth, it's like a paprika colour.
Hmm.
Incredible. So, yeah, Gibb River Robe, it's rough and, you know, you've got to be very well prepared.
So in a sense, for what you're saying, it might, I mean, it would be a good idea to combine a few things, would it? Flying.
That's how you could fill up your month.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Flying and a boat.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that's what lots of people do is they save up for the one special thing, which might be, you know, a flight out to Horizontal Falls or to the Bungle Bungle, something like that. And then, yeah, you drive across the Gibb River Road and you stop in at a few of the stations, you meet the station folk, that kind of thing. And so you blend a bit of two. And if you want to, you could start in, you know, say Kununurra, which is the real outback town. And you finish in Broome, which is more of a beachy, cruisy resort town. So you could reward yourself with a bit of easy living for a couple of nights after the roughing period.
It does sound like fun, I must say. Well, I hope we've whetted your appetite. certainly whetted mine, Fleur.
I want to go back.
So do I. So do I. Well, I want to go there once after all of that. Terrific to talk with you as well. Thank you.
No worries, thanks.
Fleur Bangers, a freelance travel writer. And, yeah, I know. Be good, wouldn't it?
You've been listening to a Nightlife podcast. For more great conversations about the issues that impact you, as well as features on travel and food, head to the Nightlife webpage. You'll find it at abc.net.au/nightlife. You don't need to be a night owl to enjoy the nightlife.